You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Michael Piotrasch. Welcome to another recording of articles from Popular Science magazine, a presentation of Airs LA. This week's articles include, at 58 seconds, why your dog gets so excited to see you. At 9 minutes 38 seconds, why do bats spread so many diseases? They're evolutionary marvels. And finally, at 13 minutes 28 seconds, scientists predict the universe will end in a big crunch. Let's get to it. This first article is from the Science Ask Us Anything section and is entitled, Why Your Dog Gets So Excited to See You, written by Laura Kinnery, published September 23, 2025. Memory, scent, and strong bonds fuel the joyous reunions between dogs and their pet parents. This article begins with a photo, a high-angle, close-up shot of a person with dark hair and a bright, joyful smile holding a small dog close to his face. The person's eyes are closed, and the dog, with its eyes also closed, has its mouth open in what looks like a happy, excited expression. The two are embracing in a moment of affection. Its caption reads, "When dogs greet their humans, the chaos of zoomies is fueled by more than happiness." You've been away for 2 weeks on a European vacation, and the moment your dog sitter brings little Monty to the door, your fur baby starts running in circles, squealing and wagging his tail like a helicopter rotor. Your dog is in the throes of what's called frenetic random activity periods, otherwise known as zoomies. This release of pent-up energy is often a form of happiness, and in this case, it's off the charts. Monty obviously loves you, but seriously, is he okay? According to Allison Gerken, a board-certified veterinary behaviorist at the SPCA in San Francisco, California, there are numerous factors that cause your dog to get so excited, and it involves everything from relationship development and neurobiology to emotions and learning. Dogs form attachment bonds with their caregivers. Studies show that dogs form attachment bonds. Quote, "And those attachment bonds can look a lot like the attachment bonds that human infants developed with caregivers," unquote, says Gerken. Quote, "It's one of the many reasons we often refer to our dogs as babies." In the late 1960s, American-Canadian psychologist Mary Ainsworth developed the strange situation procedure, a controlled study that measures an infant's attachment with their caregiver. Researchers later applied the procedure to domesticated dogs and their pet parents, examining how dogs react around their owners as opposed to a stranger. Quote, "Results showed that dogs do recognize their pet parent, and they behave really differently with that pet parent upon reunion. This includes a lot more affiliative behaviors," unquote, says Gerken, "like nudging or nuzzling. Basically, the same kinds of friendly and positive interactions that facilitate human connections." There is a video. Its caption reads, "From a Bernese mountain dog greeting a pet parent's sister to a young boy reunited with his lost dog after a year, there are few things more wholesome than a dog embracing a beloved human." How good is a dog's memory, and what kinds of things do they remember? While the short-term memory of dogs tends to be limited, their long-term memory is impressive, as are the kinds of memories they have. Dogs possess both associative memory, which is the ability to learn and remember the relationships between two unrelated things, such as how your scent equates to playtime and snuggles, and something akin to episodic memory. This type of memory calls up specific events and experiences, such as remembering the previous hiding spot of a tasty treat. Dogs can also distinguish between good and bad behaviors, which they learn through processes like classical conditioning and operant conditioning. With the former, dogs can start associating positive meanings to neutral stimuli. The jingling of a collar might mean it's time to go for a walk, or the sound of keys in a door can signal mom is home. In the case of the latter, a dog will perform a voluntary behavior, such as running in circles or bringing their pet parent a toy, and receive encouraging reactions. For instance, "Oh, Monty, you're such a sweet boy." Quote, "The dog now knows that these operant behaviors they're displaying are rewarding," unquote, says Gerken. Quote, "So next time they'll do it again," unquote. How does a dog memory work? Based on the memories they have of people, dogs then, quote, "react to a series of cues," unquote, says Gerken. These cues predict how your furry friend will react when it's reunited with what it considers its, quote, "safe haven," which can really build the emotional process around reunions, unquote. In 2012, Emory University neuroscientist Dr. Gregory Burns began the DOG Project, a research project that uses function magnetic resonance imagings, fMRIs, to measure which areas of a dog's brain light up when it's reunited with its caregiver versus a stranger. Don't worry, no dogs were harmed in the study. According to National Geographic, quote, "The researchers found that the dog's caudate nucleus, an area of the brain associated with positive expectations, was most activated by the scent of the familiar person," unquote. Quote, "The first thing that a dog does is smell you," unquote, says Gerken. In fact, their power of scent is incredible. After they smell you, they most likely hear you. Quote, "We've learned that dogs can distinguish the voices of their pet parents, and not just voices, but also specific words," unquote, like walk or treat. There are also studies that show dogs can distinguish between familiar faces and unfamiliar faces, though their vision isn't as strong as their smell or their hearing. Your dog probably goes through all of this, and it triggers the memory of how you make them feel and your long history of reinforcing positive experiences, unquote. Once this happens, happy zoomies inevitably ensue. The biological role of oxytocin. Oxytocin, aka the love hormone, is a hormone and neuropeptide that plays a big part in fostering feelings of connection and trust between individuals, whether that be a mother and her baby or a dog and their pet parent. Quote, "Oxytocin is excreted from the hypothalamus in the brain and then gets delivered through the bloodstream," unquote, says Gerken. From there, it ends up in our urine. In 2015, researchers performed a landmark study on what's called the oxytocin gaze loop. They asked pet parents to freely interact with their dogs for a period of time and then took urine samples from each party, both before and after their interaction. Researchers found that oxytocin levels were highest when the pet parent and dog were making eye contact with each other. The more the two gazed at each other, the higher their oxytocin levels went. This caused reactions like additional affection and the softening of facial features, creating an ongoing loop of positive reinforcement. Quote, "Dogs get excited when they see us, secreting oxytocin by both parties and increasing the feel-good vibes," unquote, says Gerken. Can a dog tell how long you've been gone? While dogs can't read clocks like we can, they do have a sense of time. They also have their own circadian rhythms, internal biological clocks, so they're pretty in tune with knowing what to expect in their daily routine. Studies have shown that the longer a caretaker is away, the more exuberant a dog's response at reuniting with them tends to be. However, there's always the chance that if your dog is going wild when it sees you, it may be suffering from separation anxiety, aka separation-related disorder, an abnormal response to being left alone. Quote, "Think about setting up a webcam and evaluating what your dog looks like when you're out," unquote, says Gerken. Quote, "Look for signs of distress such as pacing, panting, barking, howling, urinating, and defecating that require treatment," unquote. Of course, it may simply be that your dog finds life better with you in it, and they're just really, really, really excited to see you. This next article is from the Environment, Animals, Wildlife, Bats section and is entitled, "Why Do Bats Spread So Many Diseases? They're Evolutionary Marvels," written by Andrew Paul, published October 14, 2025. Survival of the fittest doesn't always mean smartest, fastest, or strongest. This article begins with a photo, a bat hanging upside down from a tree branch at night. Its caption reads, "After rodents, bats are the second most biodiverse mammals on the planet." There are way more bats than you might think. Second only to rodents, bats make up around a fifth of all mammals, with over 1,500 species of winged night flyers. But it's this wide biodiversity that also contributes to their somewhat undeserved reputation as disease carriers. According to biologists, 50 million years of evolutionary adaptation make bats uniquely suited to not only contracting and spreading pathogens, but also resisting them. Quote, "Infectious disease has been the biggest factor in all of evolution," unquote, University of Florida veterinary pathologist Jim Wellahan said in a recent profile. Quote, "People are always looking for an excuse why bats are magic, and the truth is, bats have just been exposed to a lot of stuff and selected for those genes accordingly," unquote. Wellahan contends the most important factor for an animal population to thrive from an evolutionary standpoint is its genetic diversity. A broad spectrum of variation greatly increases the chance that at least some individual animals will possess immunity genes that are effective against whatever new pathogen strains may come their way. Ideally, these immune creatures survive long enough to reproduce and pass along those valuable genes to the next generation of offspring. Quote, "When I first learned about Darwin and evolution, survival of the fittest, I assumed, meant smartest, fastest, and strongest. But if you look at our genomes, it turns out that's wrong," unquote, explained Wellahan. Quote, "The genes that are selected for are mostly immune-related," unquote. Among bats, these pathogens spread even more because many species live in highly social colonies. Taken together, this means bats pass diseases between one another in tandem with the genes necessary for developing immunity better than most other animals. But what can make the animals dangerous is also what primarily sets them apart from all other mammals. Its wings. Flight has dramatically expanded bats' habitat range over millions of years, allowing them to traverse humanity's artificially constructed geopolitical borders without a second thought. This is how disastrous pathogens like Ebola, Nipah virus, and even the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19 can wreak such havoc on society. That said, don't start blaming bats just yet. They're simply living in a world that is increasingly disrupted by society's encroachment. This avoidable close contact between humans and bats is what ultimately can cause diseases to leap between species. Quote, "Pathogen transmission to humans and conservation efforts go hand in hand. When populations get under stress, that's when ecological balances get shifted and zoonotic jumps occur," unquote, said Wellahan. Quote, "It turns out that if we think of ourselves as something separate from nature, it doesn't work so well," unquote. This final article is from the Science, Space, Deep Space section and is entitled, "Scientists Predict the Universe Will End in Big Crunch," written by Andrew Paul, published October 1, 2025. Starts with a bang, ends with a crunch. This article begins with a photo. Its caption reads, "Astronomers have made the most detailed study yet of an extremely massive young galaxy cluster using three of NASA's great observatories. This rare galaxy cluster, located 10 billion light-years from Earth, is almost as massive as 500 trillion suns. According to a new theory, it and everything else will collapse in on itself in the distant future. Our vast universe might not be infinitely expanding after all. Some newly reviewed dark energy data may contradict the theory first posed in 1922 by the astronomer Alexander Friedman. According to a study recently published in the Journal of Cosmology and Astroparticle Physics, the cosmos will actually conclude with a big crunch, and if the hypothesis is true, we're nearly halfway there. The universe began about 13.8 billion years ago with the Big Bang, according to modern physics. However, the data is murkier when it comes to the ultimate fate of the cosmos. For decades, many researchers agreed on calculations indicating that the universe may simply continue to infinitely expand outwards in all directions. In more recent years, some experts have posited much more concrete conclusions, including a long freeze or even a big rip. Cornell University physicist Henry Tai and colleagues think otherwise. They recently introduced new information on dark energy acquired from multiple observatories into a cosmic model featuring what's known as the cosmological constant. First described by Albert Einstein in 1917, the constant was originally a coefficient intended to counterbalance gravitational force in a static universe. Although abandoned after Edward Hubble confirmed the universe's ongoing expansion in 1929, physicists later revived the cosmological constant with both positive and negative valuations, depending on their theory. For around two decades, most experts have come down in favor of the positive constant scenario, which says the universe's expansion is accelerating. But Tai's results show something else. Quote, "The new data seem to indicate that the cosmological constant is negative and that the universe will end in a big crunch," unquote, he said in a statement. The information comes from two major reports released earlier this year, the Dark Energy Survey and the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument. Both projects were organized to determine if the 68% of all mass and energy, collectively termed dark matter, originates from a pure cosmological constant. Instead of confirming this, it now appears there are other forces at work. Although those forces remain mysteries, Tai's team experimented with introducing a hypothetical extremely low-mass particle into their cosmic equations. While it would have initially behaved as a cosmological constant in the universe's earliest eons, it no longer operates in the same way. Because of this, the constant has since shifted into a negative. Quote, "People have said before that if the cosmological constant is negative, then the universe will collapse eventually. That's not new," unquote, explained Tai. Quote, "However, here the model tells you when the universe collapses and how it collapses," unquote. If ultimately true, the universe will reach its maximum size around 11 billion years from now. At that point, physics and that negative cosmological constant will dictate if it begins to retract toward a single point. Then, after 33 billion years of existence, the universe will squash itself into nothingness. It may be yet another compelling hypothesis, but it's one based on the latest data available on some of the cosmos's most intriguing components. Quote, "In the 1960s, we learned that the universe has a beginning," unquote, said Tai. Quote, "It's good to know that if the data holds up, the universe will have an end," unquote. That brings us to the end of this week's material from Popular Science Magazine. I'm Michael Piotrasch, and I'll be back soon with more interesting articles. Thank you for listening.